broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresh Your Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
All right, welcome everybody to this week's podcast and YouTube video. This is a simulcast, and I'm your co-host here, Mark Kohler, CPA, attorney, small business owner, radio show host, author, loving small business and Main Street America, and I'm here with my amazing co-host right here over my shoulder, Matt Sorensen.
Yeah. That for on the podcast, Mark was pointing to me. So for audio people, we'll give you the commentary as we go throughout the day, but excited to be here. We got a really big topic today about PPP. You know, this is the, you know me, down with PPP. You remember that one, Mark? OPP?
I don't.
You don't remember that? Now you know me, down with OPP. Yeah, you know me.
We're from different generations.
We are.
I'm part of the greatest generation. You're part of the other generation.
Yeah, obviously so. But we're talking about Paycheck Protection Program today for sole proprietors. Hot topic right now. And there's been some guidance from SBA. You can now get your applications in, sole proprietors, independent contractors, gig workers, whatever. You guys had to wait. But we're going to dive deep into that topic, get you what you need to know so that you can apply and calculate your numbers properly.
Yep. And we try to keep this light and have fun. If you're catching the YouTube, you see Idaho mountains up behind. That's actually not Idaho, but snowy mountains where I'm at. And you see Matt over his shoulder. He's got some palm trees. He's down in Phoenix. And I'm drinking my Rockstar here, milking it. This is our sponsor. Because we're rock stars in the tax and legal world.
The Diet Mountain Dew, of course.
Yep. The only drink that has dew in it.
The only diet with dew in it. That's
yep. And if you're watching the YouTube, if you're not watching the YouTube, please note that Matt looks very tan and good looking. I look pasty white. I almost look like I have, what do you call it when you look yellow?
Jaundice?
Jaundice. I look like I have jaundice. I was going to say gangrene, but I don't have gangrene. I have jaundice.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not medical professionals.
Don't listen to any medical advice here. Tax and legal, though. This is your spot. We've been doing this podcast for years. So if you're new to the show, we've got a lot of history on it. And we've got a weekly newsletter. Now, we usually give a tax and legal tip at every show, but we got a lot of questions from last week's open forum. We're going to follow up on the PPP is the hot topic. We want to address it. And we've got a lot of content out there, of course, on Entrepreneur on our own blogs. But we're going to dive deep into the questions that we've been getting, what people need to be knowing today.
Yep. Okay. So let's break this down. I'll just start, Matt. We'll go back and forth. And let's just kind of give you an update as where everything stands right now for the sole proprietor and talk about your procedure and process. We'll just go back and forth on that. Then we'll jump into our questions that have been piling up from our podcast last week and throughout the week. Our tax attorneys are taking consultations. We're making them work evenings and weekends. And we've discounted our rate per hour just to help people get in. And you may think, oh, $300 an hour for a tax lawyer, that's way too much. People, we want to get you 20 times that and some sort of benefit. There really are about 10 strategies in the stimulus bill for small business owners, and that's including the stimulus check. And it's not just about the PPP. So as you get into this today, you're going to feel that, and make sure you get a consult with your professional. We'll give you our contact information. It's down below on iTunes and Stitcher in the description and also in YouTube. So Matt, why don't you tell everybody what came out yesterday? Finally, we got some direction from the SBA. A 19-page document ruined my night.
Yeah, it was a real page turner. but I will say, you know, you're kind of dorky when you get excited for that stuff when it comes out. So the biggest revelation we had in that document, we knew that sole proprietors, gig workers, you know, you're just 1099, it's just you, whatever we want to call it. Let's just call it sole proprietor for now. We knew they were going to be able to apply. Now, in the first rollout of it, SBA said, everyone with payroll, like S-Corps or even a sole proprietorship that had like payrolls that filed 940s and stuff, 941s, like you got to go early. But the sole props, all you independent contractors and such, you had to wait until April 10th. Yeah. So the banks weren't even taking the applications. Now SBA finally gave guidance on how the heck we're going to calculate payroll. So one of the parts of PPP, this is just the basics if you don't know what it is. You're basically getting 2.5 times your average monthly payroll. And they're generally looking at 2019 numbers. What was your average monthly payroll in your business? And you take 2.5 months times that, that gets your loan amount. Now, if you use that money on payroll, rent, utilities, that loan is then forgiven over the next 8 weeks after you get the money. So that's the basics of it. It's really cool because it's they're trying to get businesses to keep their people on payroll, even if it's just you as a sole proprietor, rather than running down for unemployment.
Yeah. Now, but what Matt just described is what we've been talking about for 2.5 weeks for the S corporation under the Schedule C and use sole props and gig economy and side hustles and 1099s. And those that just have an LLC, not taxed as an S corp, it's a little different. Mm-hmm. And this 19-page document, we're still trying to dissect it and break it down. And it's an evolving process. This is why we said stay in touch on the newsletter. Now here's, I got the whiteboard going. Matt, you, I don't know if it's play by play or color commentary on a simulcast, you know, so you're going to,
I'm going to do both. I'm going to, you know, for all you podcast listeners, I'm going to be, you know, describing what Mark is drawing. There's got to be like a game show for this. we'll see how this goes.
Yeah, we're going to see how this goes. Okay. So here's what I'm doing. We've got, oh, and my battery, I can tell my battery's going down. Say this is your Schedule C as in Charlie. This is a tax return. And you're going to start to file. Okay, let me actually say this. This is important for everybody. In order to get the PPP as a small business owner, you have to file your 2019 tax return. If you do not file your 2019 tax return, you're not going to get this. You have to have that tax return in order to be qualified for this. You're also going to go to the bank. Matt, you had a phone call about this just last night. Someone called up and said, hey, why don't I have my, you know, what do I do, Matt? Why don't you describe that first? Before we get into the actual math here, you got to have your tax return for 2019. And this is different than idle.
Yes, sole proprietor, just a contractor, trade contractor, client. You know, I was talking to, they went to SBA.gov and filled out their application for what they thought was their PPP. They filled out their EIDL application, economic injury disaster loan application. That's a different thing. Now you can do both. We've been telling clients, you might as well do both if you qualify for both, but these are different things. So the PPP is something you're going to apply at to your bank. Now the banks have been scattered all over the place on this. They've got wait lists. They got business owners banging down their door to get these loans. So you've got to get with your bank, generally work with your bank that you have your accounts with first, and then work with smaller local banks, community banks. But this is application is happening at the bank, not through SBA directly.
Yeah. And this is a big deal because people are calling us all the time going, well, I went to SBA.gov and filled out my app. That's not the PPP. You've got to go to a local bank. And if some of you say, I don't have a bank, on the SBA.gov website, they now have a link of banks that you can go to that will take you. So a lot of banks are saying, we're only going to deal with our current customers. And they're getting thrown to the curb when people show up. People are getting thrown to the curb. So you want to search around. I think we're finding the best luck with the credit unions, the local, regional banks, because they want your business and they're more agile and limber. Those bigger banks, they're trying to force everybody into these, like cattle into a chute, and it may not give you the TLC you need. Now, here's an important point. So we got to be careful. We don't want to go down that S corp route. We've been talking about that for 2 weeks. So for those of you that are getting a 1099 or anything like that as a small business owner, the 1099 is not what the bank is going to ask for. They want to know your net income.
They want the 1099 as a record of income, but they want this, and they say that actually it's in the rule, but they want the Schedule C completed because they want to know your net profit.
Yeah. And they're worried about fraud out there. People are saying, oh, I made this much money, give it to me. Well, there's a catch 22 here, because when you file out that Schedule C and you claim all this income, you're going to end up paying self-employment tax and state and federal tax on this, unless you're in one of these 9 states that doesn't have state tax. So you may go, ooh, I'm going to put down all this income. I get the PPP. Well, now you're going to get backdoored with the taxes on that income you claim. So we're trying to find a balance for clients, and we got some other strategies here that are really, really good. So hang tight. So on my screen, what you're seeing here is a Schedule C. This is a little form. It's going to be attached to your 1040. And this is where you put all these 1099s or this gig income, Etsy, PayPal, whatever. And you're going to put, and if you're a realtor or whatever, this is what you receive from the broker. And all those 1099s can go into one Schedule C. Then you're going to write off all your expenses. Auto, cell phone, dining, home office, travel, blah, blah, blah. All these cool things Matt and I are talking about all the time. Now, normally, we want to get that income as low as possible to prevent damage on the self-employment tax in state and federal. If you make too much money, we're going to get you into an S corporation, S is in small, for the upcoming year so that we save on taxes in the future. Well, now it works against the PPP because as low as we drive your income, it's going to create a lower PPP. So what you're going to want to do is drive that income up to get a bigger PPP, but now you're paying more tax. So there's really kind of this law of diminishing returns, and you want to find that perfect spot where you don't get too aggressive with write-offs. You get your PPP and you get out. This is that math. And so this little number down here at the bottom is the net. At the end of the day, you divide it by 12, you multiply it by 2.5, there's your PPP.
Yep. Now let me say the max on this. Just
good comment.
This is it's 100,000 annual total. So if your net is more than 100,000 on Schedule C, you're just at the max. Okay. And I think that comes out to like $8,300 a month and about $20,000 that you'll get in a PPP.
Yep.
So for those that are still
back here, and see, some of you, let me be clear what Matt's saying. If you made more than $100,000, you're still going to put $100,000 because that's right. Max. And if you divide that by 12 and then multiply it by 2.5, the exact amount you're going to get is $20,833. That's the maximum PPP. Unless we're going to come to option 2, but that's going to be it. So Matt, great point. That's your max.
Yep. So now for a lot of the people have been doing PPP, you know, business owners are on payroll. They've been getting much more, but all you sole props, that's going to be your max, but that's pretty good. And remember, this is a loan that's going to get forgiven when you use it to pay yourself again. So, all right, get this money. You're the one on payroll getting paid back later to have it forgiven. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Now you can in option. Let me say a couple things. You're going to get confused out there, people, and don't be offended that I said that because it's confusing for us. In the S corporation world, you're able to add healthcare premiums to that and retirement plan contributions and maybe other payroll for other employees. In the sole prop equation, you cannot add your healthcare premiums and you cannot add your SEP or 401k contributions. It's simply your net profit. Which is nice because it's simple, but don't get caught putting more in the bank, you know, there.
Yeah. And we had a question here too. This is a good time for some of these questions. Sue from last week had run with a question saying, I get 1099s for my rental properties. Can I claim those for purposes of the PPP loan? No. Okay. That's rental income. Your rental income is not going to Schedule C. And as a result, it's not going to be part of this sole proprietorship. So yes, you do have a business with your rental properties and you can take expenses, of course, against that you have in the rental property, but it's not a business for purposes of payroll, which is what, you know, or self-employment income really, which is what they're using for purposes of paying on PPP.
Okay. And Matt, when you get those questions, will you reply and say we're answering it right now on the show? Yep. I'm going to do the same. I've got one from Richard. He says last week, his question was, I heard the 2019 tax filing was not necessary, but now I hear that you need to file 2019 or you won't get approved. And that's right. That's Richard out in the Bay Area. So this is where the guidance that came down from the SBA yesterday on these kind of interim final rules, it gave it because the bankers were like, what the hell do you want us to ask for? And so that's why the SBA did that.
Yeah. The other question that came up too was from Sue was, what about the timing of the 8 weeks? So I get the loan and now I've got 8 weeks to pay it. What if I can't operate in my business, you know, whether it's just myself or even employees? Now, that's a good question, particularly we've seen for a lot of those business owners that have other employees, because it's like, hey, I mean, I can pay them to sit at home, but I'd rather time this to when I can actually open up for business again and have them work in my establishment. It's hard to say. For those sole proprietors that it's just you, well, you're working right now, okay? You're paying yourself now. For those that have employees that would obviously like to get work out of them, it's tough. I mean, on the one hand, the government's giving you this money for your employees to keep them off unemployment, quite honestly. On the other hand, you, of course, want to get them working your business. So there is some timing to it. But I'll say this. If you're a business owner, it's like, hey, I want to time this right. You got to be careful. Don't wait too long because this money can run out. The money that's been allocated for these PPP loans is limited to $350 billion. Now, Congress says they're going to fund more. But last report, we're up to like $250 billion has already been funded on this. Yeah. So the money is going. Don't wait and think, I'm going to wait until I can open back up for business to apply for PPP.
Yeah.
Might be too late.
Oh, good, good, good. And I'm just emailing here, replying to so many of these messages, letting them know that they're going to be on live right now. Okay. Another point here, the forgiveness. Now this is tricky. Because what I understood, Matt, and I'm going to throw you under the bus here, or at least put you on the spot. That's what I should say.
Okay.
Is
that does sound better.
Yeah, that's never happened before. Okay, so what I'm writing up on the whiteboard now is kind of phase one is I've got to get this money. And then the next problem is I've got to get it forgiven. And right. So... we want to try to get as much money as we can and then turn around and get it forgiven entirely. What we don't get forgiven is 1% terms over 2 years. And you may think, oh, well, that's we can get that easily forgiven. If they gave it to us, would be forgiven. So the PPP amount is, and gosh darn it, my little whiteboard's not working. So I'm going to just do this verbally.
My color commentary has been terrible too. So that's actually,
that's not going to hurt.
For right? Those of you watching, looks like they were having technical difficulties or listening.
Oh, I think I got it. Okay. Yep. I got it now. I had to twist on the cap a little bit better.
Oh, you had to turn it on. Okay.
Oh, shut up. Okay. Now, it was on. Okay. So here's the deal. Phase one. So this is on my whiteboard off to the left. Phase one is getting the money. And this has been kind of the big headache. And is the money running out and all this stuff? And today we're giving you the equation. Take your profit from last year, get your 2019 filed, divide by 12, multiply by 2.5, blah, blah, blah. Let's say that adds up to, let's just have fun with that. And let's say that's $5,000 a month. And so if I took $5,000 times 12, that'd be $60,000. So let's say you netted 60. And you then divide that by 12. And so we're down to 5. And then you multiply 5 by 2.5. So your PPP would be $12,500. All right, that's cool. Now, phase two is you've got 8 weeks to spend the money. Now, what you don't want to do during this 8 week period is just go buy new computers, equipment, go pay for something crazy or whatever.
Yeah.
This is the weird part. You've got to show you paid yourself somehow. Now, what's weird here, Matt, is when I read, this is the part that I'm questioning, I need your answer, is my understanding is they're going to forgive your monthly amount times two of profit. So they're, because you don't know what your profit's going to be yet. So I read that report as saying, we're going to take two months, so that'd be $10,000 in this example, and forgive it. The other $2,500, the 0.5, if you will, I don't know what you say rent, but when I read that document, I think it wasn't as clear as to what they're going to forgive. And so Yeah, and I'll come to phase three, but let's just stay with phase two, spending the money. Did you feel it was clear?
Yeah, I think this is SBA's way and Treasury of basically saying, hey, we're giving you payroll based on a 2.5 month calculation, but you have to spend it over 8 weeks. That's 2 months. So we're not going to let you pay yourself more than you otherwise would have and have that whole thing forgiven, right? That doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So, because it's just you, business owner. If it was other employees you had in your business that, you know, you can't pay more than 100 grand, all that annually through the year, it's a little tricky harder to manipulate. But for the sole prop, I think that's why they limited it to that on the back end for forgiveness. Now, you do still get some other expenses that you get to wrap into that, like rent. If you have that in a business, you can even do home office. It's kind of a little more tricky to document with your bank, but you can do it possibly. Utilities in your business, which can include phone or internet in the definition. So, and again, you got to be careful with your bank. This is going to be the hard part for the sole props. Is any of these non-payroll costs are going to be tricky to document, because many sole props, you know, they don't you don't have an office space, you don't have a separate, you know, you have a lot of stuff in your personal name, which is generally fine for tax purposes. You're okay to expense it that way. But for forgiving a loan, you may get some pushback at your bank when you go to later try to get this forgiven. So yeah, we know it's going to be a little messier for the sole props.
Yeah. And Matt, I'm going to just say in subsection on, this is page 7, because this video is going to be out there. And some of you may go, and can't you guys get your crap together? But we have been talking to 10, 15 different CPAs and attorneys over the last 24 hours trying to nail this down. And Matt, what I'm seeing on, this is page 8, subpart D. It says, how can PPP loans be used by individuals with income from self-employment who file Schedule C? The proceeds of a PPP loan are to be used as following: owner compensation, I, little 2i, employee payroll costs. So if you're paying some other employee, third party in your business. Number 3, mortgage interest payments on any business or the interest on an auto loan, business utility payments, the cost of electricity in your warehouse that you rent, this and that.
Right, which is the normal rules, which is the normal expense. Forgiveness rule, yeah.
Yep. For example, if you do not claim your utility expenses on 2019, you cannot claim utilities on this period. Interest payments and little I-4, little interest payments on other debt obligations incurred before the PPP forgiveness loan, and then refinance of the EIDL. So if you got the EIDL, you get to bump that in here and do it. So Matt, what I'm saying is I did not see rent in that list. So I'm just throwing that out. I see mortgage interest.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There it is. Business rent payments. Okay, good. And then there you go. And there's the utilities. Okay, good. People, don't be offended with me. I mean, this is just so complicated. Just make sure we're reading it right from the word.
And even Treasury, by the way, put out a FAQ just today on additional questions on this. So, I mean, you know, this is government rolling this stuff out quickly and trying to resolve questions. I mean, even last week, we were trying to guess on how they were going to calculate the loan amount, you know, and I have to say we were right. Mark was right about Schedule C. They're going to use 2019 Schedule C. So, the hard part here, we'll say this too, you're going to get a lot of confusion at the bank. Not every bank is doing this the same. Okay. A lot of them have got down the road going one path, and then guidances came from the SBA because they're trying to hurry as well. And also a lot of bankers, let's be honest, think they're kind of experts at everything. And when they're really not, especially on stuff like this, that's brand new. So there's a lot of confusion out there. You got to be on the ball. Just know what matters in your situation. Focus on your Schedule C and getting as much as you can for the net profit. That's legitimate, of course. Here's the question on the back end. We're going to have time to figure this out. There's a little more time to figure out on the forgiveness part of what you're going to get forgiven. And anything you don't, just give back. Or keep it as a 1% loan. The interest on it's only 1%. You get 2 years to pay it back. It's a pretty dang good loan. Worst case scenario, you give it right back at the end of the day. If you can't spend it on something, you get forgiven.
Yep, I like it. And Matt's getting into what I'm calling phase 3. And let's do this again for those that are listening on iTunes. Or Stitcher, phase 1 is getting the money, And there's the equation. Phase two is during this 8-week period, hopefully you can use it. You can reopen your doors. You're not in a shelter in place situation. And then phase three is you go back to the same bank and they're going to have a form where you apply for forgiveness. Now, what I'm seeing here again in this interim final report by the SBA says what amounts should be forgiven. This is subpart F. It says payroll costs that you paid to any other employee in your business. Maybe you hired someone during this time. Number three, the owner compensation replacement calculated based on your 2019 profits as described in paragraph 1B above. So it's not like you have, some clients have already called and said, how do I pay myself in a sole prop? You don't. They're going to automatically say whatever you used in your calculation on the front is what your replacement is on the back, and you get 2 months worth. So now
which is nice because a lot of business owners, let's be honest, if they had to look at their 2020 net profit, it's going to be a zero. What's that going to mean? You're going to get nothing forgiven. You know, if they use that same calculation for 2020, you're toast. You've already had a ton of expenses and lost revenue already.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, what's fun here, and we can do this right now on Zoom, and let's just have fun with this for a minute. And maybe some will appreciate this. I'm going to show my screen of what we're looking at right here. So it says what amount should be eligible for forgiveness? Payroll costs paying any other individual during the 8 weeks, maximum of $15,385 per person. This also includes health insurance for them, retirement plan contribution, and state taxes imposed. Now, this is not on you, but it could be a family member that you're paying, maybe. Who knows, right? Then you've got your owner compensation replacement. That's based on the application on the front end. Payments of interest on mortgage obligations. And then number four, what Matt said and we verified in detail, rent payments on lease agreements that you were enforced before February 15th. Now, for a lot of small business owners, they're going to go, well, can't I pay rent to myself with my home office? No, home office is not going to be, it has to be an actual lease agreement with someone. We've already had people coming to our law firm looking for that. And then utility payments with service agreements before February 15th, 2020. So the rent, utility, interest is that 0.5. Let's just be clear. That's pretty much what you're looking at. Uh-huh. And there's your forgiven amount. So,
yeah. And so you'll apply to the same bank that loaned you the money for the forgiveness, and they have 60 days. So they're obviously going to have some forms. You're going to have to produce the records on those amounts to say what's forgivable. And then the bank, it's up to them to then decide to forgive it or not. Now, the bank is on your side on this. Now, they don't want fraud or anything, of course. They want you, you know, they want you to give them the documentation. You're going to have to jump through their hoops. But they get paid from Treasury, you know, when you ask for it forgiven. So it's not like they're like out of luck. No, they get paid back on the loan, and they got 5%, 500 basis points on giving you the loan, 5%.
They don't want to carry this loan at 1% for the next year.
Exactly. So there's some, you have common interest there in getting it forgiven, which I think is nice. If there was a conflict there, you could see some real heinous situations with banks making you jump through ridiculous hoops, but they're going to be on your side. Just make sure you got good records when you're going in for forgiveness.
Okay. Now I'm going to start, let's just start fielding questions like crazy here for maybe 5 or 10 minutes and then wrap it up.
Yep.
This is from Allison. She says, if you are a landlord of rental property reporting on Schedule E of 1040, what that does not have a separate EIN from the owner. Can you still apply for the 10,000 grant under the EIDL? Regrettably, no. Allison, I am so sorry. We were hoping that you'd be able to get this on the this $10,000 under EIDL, even if you're a rental property owner. But the SBA gave guidance this weekend that said we're only going to give out $1,000 per employee that you had in the business. And that doesn't include you. And very rarely are you going to have an employee on a Schedule E. And this is really, really sad because I'm scared for all those small business owners out there that own a rental property or Airbnb or VRBO, and there's no rent coming in right now. And there's nothing under the stimulus package for you right now. There's nothing, seriously. So, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Jasmine had a question. Says, I have an online business and my income has drastically been reduced. This is a question. She has a single member LLC. And really the question is about, should I apply for unemployment or should I go for a PPP? Because you've got really two options. Now, a lot of the strategies, and Mark and I have the 8 strategies that we did previously. You can see how to bring these all together. There's the 8 strategies as part of the stimulus bill. Mark has an article on that too, if you just want to read. But this is one you cannot do at the same time for yourself. Maybe if you got a spouse or something, you can both go in on this. One goes for unemployment, one does the PPP. But in your scenario, Jasmine, you're going to have an option of either going for PPP or going for unemployment. Now, what I would do, I would calculate, let's look at your Schedule C for 2019. What did that look like? How much would you get on it? Remember, you're going to get 8 weeks here. And if you're getting a good amount on that, I would go PPP. The unemployment line right now and the process there is even more out of whack than the PPP loan application right now. People are waiting still on unemployment that applied month ago. So now on the other hand, if your loan amount's low, you might want to under PPP, you might want to go down the unemployment route instead. Keep your business going to the extent you can. You may have losses so you could still qualify for unemployment, but you kind of got to run the numbers, I guess. Look at your situation.
Yeah. I would tell people at this point, and a lot of you are making appointments with our office and waiting to do anything until they get their appointment with us. Here's what I'd say. Go apply for unemployment. Go apply for the PPP. Just get in line. It's almost like you're in line at the bank calling someone. It doesn't mean you're up to the teller yet and have to decide, but get in line. You can always drop out of unemployment in the application process. You can always drop out of the PPP. But we're helping clients every day. We're out about a week and a half on appointments, which is fine. Get your applications done. And then in a consultation with one of your professionals, you can wrap up the loose ends before you actually take the money possibly. And I think that'd be wise to keep moving. And for all of you, no matter what you do, you've got to have your tax return done because that's where it all starts. Same with unemployment and the PPP and all that. If you don't have your tax return done for 2019 as a sole prop, you're going nowhere.
Now I got another question from, this is from Stephanie on Facebook actually about the 1099. So what about what I'm paying other people in my business? I am a sole prop, but I'm 1099-ing other agents, this is in the real estate context, for their commissions. Doesn't count in yours. They are going to do their own PPP application based on the 1099 they received. So you do not count that in your calculation of payroll cost. You are going to look at your own Schedule C. That is it.
And I'm going to do a diagram up here just again. For those listening on the podcast, I've created a rectangular box like a form. I have Schedule C at the top. All of your 1099s are coming in the top as gross income again. Then you're going to do your expenses. And that is, you know, rent, utilities, marketing, tax, legal, account, blah, 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 all that stuff, and cell phone travel, and 1099s to other people. Those are expenses. Then whatever your net is, that is the real number, people.
Yeah.
And if you had real employees, not 1099 people, but real employees where you did a W-2 and a 941 and all that crap and workers' comp, those can be added to the net at the bottom. So you have your net, then you can go back and add to that net any employees, but not 1099s, any employees with W-2s.
Yeah.
Then you do your divide by 12 and 2.5.
Yeah. And I don't know what happened. There's a lot of confusion on the internet about this, and particularly on social media, of whether you get to include 1099s paid or not. And, you know, we are, of course, out of the gate. That's not part of the equation on payroll costs and what you're calculating for yourself. But big misconception out there, so steer clear of that.
Yeah. Now, I had another question. This is from Rembrandt out in Georgia. He says, Mark, if I'm a minority owner of an LLC, a real estate brokerage firm, and it's filed a PPP for the company, can or should I file one as a sole prop as an individual 1099 agent? even with the company PPP, I'm looking at maybe 30% of my average take home, staffing, rent, utilities. I would need to put together a Schedule C for 2019, but that's doable. Okay, Rem, this is important. He goes by Rem. here's the deal, everybody. When you're a partner in an LLC or a corporation, unless you're receiving a W-2, that partnership is only going to get a PPP on its actual payroll. So what's interesting here is in Rem's example, this real estate brokerage firm, they're probably doing a PPP for the secretarial staff, admin, people, you know, any maybe repairmen on staff for rental properties or rental, you know, they're managing. But they're not getting the PPP based on the profits to the owners. Now, this is why a consultation is very, very important. Because Rem, you're probably getting a K-1 and what's called a guaranteed payment. You think it's payroll, but it's not. It's called a guaranteed payment. And that's going to go on your Schedule C or page 2 of the Schedule E. And that's going to be your application for your own PPP because it's self-employment income. And Rem, you've got to get with an accountant that knows what they're doing. And regrettably, at our accounting firm, we're too busy now to help do new tax returns. But even if you walk into H&R Block or somewhere and go, here's my LLC 1065, but here's my personal 1040 and my share of the income there that's subject to self-employment tax, and that's what your PPP is going to be based on. Get your return done, walk into the bank. But Rem, your situation is a little more complicated because you're part of a partnership and your accountant's going to have to know how to treat that.
Yeah. And a lot of times we'll have clients who have their own S corp that's a partner in a partnership, you know, and you're taking your own payroll out of your own S corp, which in that case, of course, you would just file your own separate PPP under the S corp. Now, in the interim rule, the SBA did say, if you are a partner in a partnership, you may not submit a separate PPP application for yourself as a self-employed individually. Instead, the self-employment income of general active partners may be reported as a payroll cost up to $100,000 annualized on a PPP loan application filed by or on behalf of the partnership. Now, we've seen this go two ways, actually. We've seen it go the route Mark was just talking about of, okay, it's flowing down onto my own Schedule C. I'm just going to apply as a sole prop there. And you're going to be able to do that as your own sole proprietorship. You're not double counting that income in the partnership in your own. But I think what SBA wants now for people, and it's confusing, is they want you to add back in payroll costs of the partnership this income you have as a general partner into the payroll costs, again, up to the $100,000, so that money flows through the one partnership application. I think they want to keep applications down, presumably. So the partnership one, I have to say, is the most confusing when you're not getting on payroll in the partnership. You don't have your own separate S corp or you're running payroll, but you've got this guaranteed payment or profit coming through. It's a tricky one.
Yep. All right. And we could stay here for the next 3 hours. I'm not kidding. And just answer questions. We have close to 100 emails and we're so grateful for many of you following us. And I'm sorry if we can't get to all your questions, I'm trying to choose a variety here. I'll maybe do one more, Matt, you do another one. And we'll just kind of, we're going to be back tomorrow, Thursday afternoon for a live YouTube, Facebook, at least me, and hopefully I'll get Matt on the line and we'll try to do some more questions tomorrow. Okay. Skyler says, and this is a good one. He goes, Mark, I'm a Renata student down in Utah, been a client for years. Thank you, Skyler. Says, I'm an S corp and I've been in business for 2 years and done my tax returns, but because I didn't make enough money, I didn't do payroll last year. Or he says, I only did $3,000 in payroll for myself. Now this opens up a really interesting point. I'm going to make 2 or 3 points here real quick, guys, and this is deep. First, if you're an S corp, but you didn't take a payroll, that means you're going to be pushing income to a Schedule C in order to satisfy your FICA requirement. Because you can't just do an S corp and never pay yourself. And so we backdoor a payment to you to your Schedule C, and you pay your fair share of FICA. It's not the ideal way to do it, but sometimes that happens. For those of you in that situation out there, you're going to take that Schedule C into the bank, not your S Corp. The S Corp doesn't have payroll. It just gave you a 1099, really. And so it's clunky. We don't recommend that. But if you're stuck in that situation, take your Schedule C to the bank, not your S Corp. Now, in this situation, Skyler, this is option two. He goes, I only took $3,000 in payroll. If I did the PPP, it'll be like $1,000 if I'm lucky. It'll be
a joke. It would be less than that. Yeah, a couple hundred.
So this is where we're bringing up a new strategy. And I've just been talking about this today because I found out that it's really kind of a nice little option for people that are going to get a crappy PPP. And it's called the Employee Retention Credit. Now, you have to be an S Corp. So some of you may be converting to an S Corp. But when you put anybody on payroll up to $10,000, you get a 50% credit up to $10,000. So that's $5,000. So Skyler, if you put yourself on payroll for 10, you're going to get a credit of 5. And that would be better than doing the PPP. It's because you can't do the PPP and the Employee Retention Credit. And sole proprietors can't do this. But for some of you that are in that S Corp, where you're like, I really don't get the PPP because I didn't have enough payroll or any payroll, you can still do it right now and pay yourself and get a 50% credit, which could be a good fit. You got to run the numbers, talk to your professional and see if it makes sense. But that's an option too. So Kyler, and by the way, everybody out there, EIDL only gets you $1,000 per employee. So in this example, Skyler says, well, I went and got the EIDL. Well, now it's only $1,000 per employee. So that's $1,000 for you because you're the only employee. So be careful, Skyler. Some of you, there's not going to be a lot on the table and it's really too bad. Okay, Matt, you choose the last question of the day.
Okay. There was a question going around about those that have an LLC that's taxed as an S Corp. And I don't know that we've had that asked a few times, actually. If you have an LLC that's taxed as an S Corp, your filing is an S Corp. Okay. And this is one of the things we've seen clients come back when they've got to their banker and their banker's all confused because it's an LLC taxed as an S Corp. Okay. This is a very common structure. I know your banker is you're blowing their brains with it right now, but you're giving them S Corp tax documents, your 941s, you're not giving them your Schedule C. All right. And so you're filing like you're an S Corp. So they should treat you like an S Corp in their system because that's how your payroll numbers are being reported. And that's what they're going to use to calculate the loan amount. But on your application and all the documents you're going to give them, you're actually an LLC. I know it's confusing. Just make sure you understand the difference so you can hold your banker, you know, feet to the fire on how to actually do this. Proceed like you're an S Corp in terms of calculating your payroll.
Great comment. And I've got two last comments. And Matt, you're so smart. I love that we can just banter back and forth. I never have to worry Matt's going to say something crazy or vice versa. I may make dumb jokes, but I try to get my info accurate.
One day I'll get up to your level and I can like do some drawings. And, you know,
Yeah, right. Okay. Two final comments. I can't remember the second one at the moment, but the first one was Matt made a good point. When you go to your banker, if they go, oh, you can't do that, don't take it as gospel. That may be their bank policy. And you go, oh, Mark and Matt were wrong. My guy is in a bank or my gal's in a bank and they must always be right. No, we have seen so much crap with these bankers. You are the captain of your ship. And if they don't give you the answer you think's right, go to a different bank. Get a second opinion. It's okay.
Yeah. My final comment would just be get moving quickly. You got to be on the ball on this. Again, Congress has said they're going to fund more money, but literally it's going to take an act of Congress. And we know that ain't easy. So get your crap going today if you haven't already. Get in line wherever you're at. One other consideration I had, this is my last article on Entrepreneur, is be wary of the third party providers that are out there saying, hey, we'll help you go get your PPP loan. Okay. Yeah. They're trying to make a commission and a fee. And if they don't have a bank lined up to take your application, you may be in a line for some third party that's collecting a bunch of names and businesses that's trying to still find a bank that'll process these loans. The banks don't need help finding people to give loans to right now. All right. they got people banging down their doors. So be careful with any of the third parties, work with the bigger ones, or make sure whoever you're using, if you are using a third party, actually has a bank that's going to fund it and they can tell you who the bank is.
Yeah. There's so many scam artists right now. We're not charging for prepping your application, and we're not even doing applications. In fact, right here, this is the application. It's two pages. That's it. You put in, here's my monthly payroll times 2.5. Here's the number of employees, zero, and a sole prop. Check sole prop or LLC. Ownership, check some boxes. It is that fast. If someone's charging you to do that or cook you up, it's very well a scam. Now, we're doing consultations to talk about paid sick leave, your retirement account withdrawals, SBA loans, EIDL, retention credit, which, you know, this package. I've gotten 6 out of 10 for a client and over 200 grand, and I've gotten several triples and quadruples. I haven't hit an 8 or a 9 or 10 yet, but that's the whole thing. There's a lot to this. So
yeah.
Down below, we have our phone number if you'd like a consult, and get our newsletter. And we'll be here every week or more during this crazy time. And our hearts go out to all of you that are really struggling. Everybody's working hard. It's just miserable right now. So thanks for listening and watching today. Matt?
Yeah. Get over to refreshyourwealth.com. You know where to find us. We'll be back, of course, next week with another amazing episode. And thanks for being here.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's eBooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.